Standing up for an icon. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Barry, it's good to be back with you in studio. We've got a lot to discuss. Where we left off yesterday, we'll pick it right back up. And I'll let you handle that since you're master of ceremonies.
Well, we were talking yesterday about this whole situation that the Republicans are facing with the comments of Missouri Congressman and U.S. Senate candidate Todd Akin in dealing with the issue of rape and incest abortions and how he inartfully tried to encapsulate and summarize years and years of research that he might have heard as a member of the Health, Science, and Technology Committee in the U.S. Congress, and that his inarticulate defense, he used the term, I think, legitimate rape, which I think he's explained clearly what he was trying to say, and just was, well, like we do so often on this program, falling all over his own tongue, trying to say the right word, and not getting there.
Yeah, he meant forcible rape versus statutory.
Right, that's exactly what he was shooting for. How that then spawned an Ohio connection, first as Representative Akin came to Columbus and has hired the political consulting firm of Strategy Group for Media, who runs a lot of Republican media campaigns, and then immediately went out with an apology commercial to clarify what he was really trying to say, and apologized if his words hurt anyone or offended them, which I thought was a very, very gentlemanly and right thing to do for him. In the midst of having many of his Republican colleagues, none of whom I would necessarily consider to be very conservative on the pro-life side, calling for him to immediately step down and withdraw from the U.S. Senate race. Now, we didn't talk about this yesterday, Jeff. There's another reason why there's so many voices calling for this. You see,
of course,
there was a very bruising three-way Republican primary for the nomination for this run for the United States Senate against Claire McCaskill, who is, well, let's say she's walking wounded. She's an incumbent Democrat who's probably on her way out. Todd Akin won that three-way primary against the Republican Party's anointed candidate. Well, now everything from the Republican Senatorial Committee Chairman John Cornyn of Texas to Mitt Romney to Paul Ryan to others are asking or demanding, I should say. I don't think they're asking. They're demanding that Todd Akin withdraw from the race so that the party then can appoint somebody else, i.e. their favorite son who got beat when the electorate in Missouri decided they didn't want him as their candidate, to step aside so they can have a shot at Claire McCaskill and have another moderate in the U.S. Senate. Well, Chuck, again, that's a subtext that'll play itself out, but the bigger context of what we're talking about is the second link to Ohio that comes up in the Todd Akin story. It's not just the political consulting group, but in an article in CNSNews.com's website dated on the 24th of August, Julie Carr Smythe, who is a Associated Press reporter who is from Columbus, and I've had dealings with her in the past, wrote basically what's a hit piece on the father, the grandfather, if you will, of the pro-life movement, Dr. Jack Wilkie from Cincinnati, who created the National Right to Life, Ohio Right to Life, the International Right to Life, and is now the titular head of Life Issues Institute from Cincinnati, and I'd have to say for full disclosure, is on the board of directors of the Ohio Pro-Life Action Group, of which I'm also on the board of directors. So we were talking a little bit about journalistic ethics in relation to this, because it's very clear that Ms. Carr Smythe is attempting to hide a hit piece in a supposedly informational reporting.
Well, no editor could have looked at this and not put it where it belongs, and that's on an opinion page, because this is not a story. This is an opinion piece. That's never stopped an editor in the past, however, and I doubt if it has now. I'm a little shocked of the logic employed here in that apparently, Al Gerhardstein, an abortion rights activist attorney, knows more about biology than Dr. Jack Wilkie, who has an MD and practiced for, what, like 50 years? Something like that?
And who's an OBGYN.
Yeah. So, I don't think so, Barry. As good as attorneys get in their specialty areas, they're generally not as well trained as the people who they have to call as expert witnesses. And the fact is that Gerhardstein's quote here, that he's always been very sincere and passionate advocate for his cause, and I've always been wary that he doesn't let the facts get in the way. from what I've been able to determine, Gerhard Stein is the one who doesn't let the facts get in the way. He would argue about, we really don't know when life begins. It's the usual equivocation that attorneys learn early on in their careers and never seem to be able to drop, especially defense attorneys and especially attorneys who specialize in certain kinds of lawsuits. They learn to equivocate early, and that is, when we say equivocate, just to make clear, they learn to take a word, twist all the meaning out of it, and make it say what they want it to say. Attorneys are masters, sort of like a lion tamer. They're word tamers. They make the words do what they want them to do, not necessarily what they were designed to do. And it appears that that's gone on in this case. So she is basically quoting an attorney. She didn't go out and find another MD. She didn't go out and find a reproductive biologist. She didn't even go out and find anybody that had a Bachelor of Science in basic biology. She got an attorney. Well,
that, and she also looked up a quote from Jack Wilkie from 13 years ago.
And she cut it out of context. Because if you'll notice, wrote in 1999 in the journal Christian Life Resources, okay, what edition? When you quote a source, you really should make it possible for someone to go and find it. Now, I'm sure the Christian Life Resources doesn't come out more than quarterly.
If that.
We can find it even half or once a year. We could find it, but it would be exceedingly difficult. And she's done that on purpose because she knows most people won't go out and try to find the quote and see if she's done it in context or not. And because, quote, she's a journalist, quote unquote, she thinks that she can get away with doing this. Because after all, I'm highly respected. Well, there's a list that comes out every year about the most trusted professions. And guess who's always at the bottom? It's lawyers and journalists. And there's a reason. Because of this kind of nonsense.
Well, of course, Chuck. Honestly, you have a situation where you cannot, based upon the facts, and I wanted to point this out, she comes up with this idea, supposedly, as she goes into this article. She says, to anti-abortion activists, Wilkie is a revered figure. To abortion rights activists, the one-time sex education lecturer perpetuates myths, eschews facts, and ignores science. Okay, and then she says this, and to fellow physicians, his ideas are pure fiction. Okay. But the point is, she does not quote any fellow physicians. She brings in a general quote from the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in relation to Todd Aiken's remarks, not in relation to the scholarly research article that Jack Wilkie had penned for this research journal, Christian Life Resources, but just against Todd Aiken's comments, which means that she's playing a journalistic version of non sequitur.
Yeah, it's bait and switch, Barry. It's actually, I'm trying to remember what the name of the fallacy is, but you basically present one viewpoint, assign it to another person by mixing their two views together and coming out with something that neither one of them actually think.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing I think that bothered me the most about this article. It wasn't so much using a liberal abortion rights attorney who's crying because Jack Wilkie's respected among legislators and actually his word is taken with the respect that it deserves because of his years of expertise in this particular area and his leadership in this area. You know, Al Gerhard Stein's just crying because he gets to come up to the podium and things of that nature. And Gerhard Stein, at the end of the article, quoted saying, quote, I'm thinking, boy, I never gotten that kind of treatment, unquote.
You're arguing in favor of murdering infants. Why would you get
you get that kind of treatment? And again, Chuck, that's the other thing that Julie Carstmeier is attempting to do. She's attempting to shift the focus of the argument to whether or not Jack Wilkie's medical ideas are legitimate, not the result of the carrying out of the question of let's go ahead and allow abortions in cases of rape and incest. Now and that's the point we've got to get to, because that's the point that you and I are trying to deal with here.
Exactly. What she wants to move to is the President of the United States viewpoint, which is that infanticide should be allowed right up till the moment of live birth.
It isn't just the president's ideas, as far as I know, Chuck. That's actually going to be written into, or at least written in such a way, in the Democratic Party platform for their convention coming up the first week of September, so that if you're okay with partial birth abortion, if you're okay with abortion on demand, any trimester of pregnancy, if you're okay with abortion for any reason, the Democrat Party will warmly embrace you with open arms.
Well, the 2008 platform was pretty strong. Now, this is the one that Obama ran for president on, and I'm going to say something that may make some people mad. Those of you out there who voted for Barack Obama, who are Christians, and you voted for him for this reason or that reason or another reason without knowing what his stand was on abortion, because here it is. Quote, the Democratic Party strongly and unequivocally supports Roe versus Wade and a woman's right to choose a safe and legal abortion regardless of ability to pay, and we oppose any and all efforts to weaken or undermine that right.
Yeah, that's it, Chuck. Any and all efforts. That means anything that would say any abortion should be regulated or made illegal at any point during a pregnancy, they oppose.
And that includes birth abortions, which is right. Really just a heinous procedure that I really don't even want to describe on the air. You can find out about it on the internet if you really are curious and you don't really know what it is. Babies are given birth backwards and their brains are sucked out of their heads while they're still alive. It's really just horrific. And yet Barack Obama defends that. And in fact, he wants to expand the right and he wants you to pay for it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you voted for him last time, this is what you get. And I'm sorry if that hurts you. Too bad. There are consequences to actions, and this is one of the consequences. Now we have journalists attempting to make hay out of a story in which people didn't exactly say what she says they said, taking their quotes out of context in order to make them say something they didn't. But that's nothing new. With leftist journalism, it's always been advocacy journalism, and don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. Now, what's going on with the 2012 Democratic platform? Well, all we have to do is look at Barack Obama's opposition to the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. He said something that should put a chill, and this is from the story, this is a quote, said something that should put a chill up every mother's spine. By the way, this is from Breitbart.com. Here's a quote. There wasn't any question about what was happening. The abortions were going wrong. The babies weren't cooperating. They wouldn't die as planned. This is the president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, when he was state senator and a national U.S. senator. Quote, or as Illinois State Senator Barack Obama so touchingly put it, there was movement or some indication that, in fact, they're not just coming out limp and dead. No, Senator, they wouldn't go along with the program. They wouldn't just come out limp and dead. They were coming out alive, born alive babies.
Well, and that's the whole point, Chuck, that even in that comment, he is inadvertently acknowledging that he knows that what was there was a life, was a human life that's coming out dead. Not a blob of tissue that's being extracted, but a human being who has been murdered. Those comments are very telling, and it's also telling that he used those comments in order to oppose the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. Now, I don't care what Julie Carr Smythe thinks about Jack Wilkie. Jack Wilkie has spent his entire life defending defenseless unborn children from being butchered in their wombs, regardless of the circumstances of their conception. Barack Obama has spent most of his political career voting to ensure that he and his leftist colleagues can have unfettered access to murdering those defenseless babies for any reason whatsoever. I think that if we really want to focus attention on somebody's horrific comments in this abortion debate in our presidential election year, it should be on the President of the United States' comments and his voting record on this, not on a potential Senate candidate, Todd Akin, not on Jack Wilkie, but upon the person who's, by executive order and by appointments and by his policy leadership of his party, is setting a tone that's leading straight to death.
Well, if Akin wanted this to stop, how he would answer this question is, okay, I made a mistake. Now, let's talk about the president's viewpoint on infanticide. That would immediately end this line of questioning. So, okay, you asked me, now we're going to talk about abortion. Let's talk about the president's viewpoint and why I'm running against that particular viewpoint.
Yes.
He needs to make the focus the Democratic Party platform and what it means. And it means that you and I will be paying for partial birth abortions. That's the bottom line here. And that's what he needs to do to straighten up, get beyond this thing. Okay. He says, yeah, I made a mistake. I said something stupid. And it was basically off the cuff, for which I'm sorry, and I apologize to the women who were hurt by what I said, who were raped and got pregnant after a rape, or incest victims who were pregnant. But let's talk about the real facts of the case. It's a human life. You have no right to murder it just because it causes you pain. Sorry, but no such right exists. And now let's talk about the other guy's viewpoint. and see which one's more backward and barbaric.
I don't think it's even close.
No. And with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.